Hello and welcome to the Monday, November 18th, 2024 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording from Singapore. Due to recording from Singapore this week, the time the podcast will be published will be off sometimes, even show up a day early in some of the listings. So sorry for any confusion this will cause, but we should have our full 5 podcast week this week. Today's diary was a little bit of a reminder that sometimes attackers are reaching back to old or outright ancient vulnerabilities. Specifically, a vulnerability in TP-Link routers that's going back about 12 years was discovered back then by a Polish researcher, Michal Sajdak. And well, it's not really clear if it was ever patched. There is no CVE number associated with it. Michal was in contact with TP-Link, even though there were some issues because of the initial connection here. So not really clear if this particular vulnerability was ever addressed. On the other hand, if it was addressed and all TP-Link routers in the last 10 years were patched, then this may not really be a big issue. Still interesting that attackers all of a sudden discover this vulnerability, start scanning for it, even though we have not really seen any scans for these vulnerabilities before. Just as a little side note, I've also seen some scans for an ancient Cisco vulnerability. That was I think it's iOS 11.2 vulnerability. So pretty much 20-year-old vulnerability, all of a sudden being scanned again. This vulnerability definitely has been exploited back in the day. So not necessarily something that just shows up now. And Bleeping Computer has a good summary of recent attempts to impersonate security researchers and submit pull requests with obviously malicious code. In my opinion, this is likely someone who is not necessarily trying to exploit these GitHub repositories. The code actually would not, as it was deposited, execute any malicious code, but instead probably more someone who was working on a conference talk and thought it would be fun to shame people who then would have accepted these pull requests. Apparently, this didn't work. People actually paid attention and did not accept and merge these pull requests. The pull request itself contained obviously sort of obfuscated code. It tried to request a code from an Evil Dojo, I think, was one of the URLs being used here. Site that code did not actually load. There was nothing here being included, so it was probably just checking here whether or not this particular request would ever be executed. And then we got some news and not news from the enterprise perimeter security front. First one is Palo Alto. Palo Alto, I mentioned last week, released an advisory that they are aware of a vulnerability that's being exploited against their devices, but they don't really know what the vulnerability is and also don't have a patch available. So they continue to recommend that you basically limit access to the management interface. They have updated their advisory with some additional details regarding indicators of compromises as to what IP addresses are being used to connect to these management interfaces by the attacker. Be aware, of course, that this is likely going to change with the publication of this data. Then a couple updates from Fortinet. First of all, we do have a post by Watchtower going into more details on recent FortiManager vulnerabilities, but not just the recent vulnerability, also sort of incomplete patches of recent vulnerabilities and additional issues here that have not yet been fully addressed. There is also a blog post by Volexity stating that they see exploitation against an unpatched vulnerability in the Forti client. So that's the client side of that Fortinet ecosystem. The problem here is that the VPN client saves the username and password in memory, does not remove them after the client connects. And there is now malware that actually will read these credentials from memory. Volexity calls this malware Brazen Bamboo. Volexity states that they originally identified this problem back in July and reported it, but again, no patch available at this point. So in short, with your enterprise perimeter secure devices, don't assume that they're actually secure. Don't assume you actually get patches, no matter how much you paid for these devices, but absolutely make sure that you follow best practice in limiting the attack surface by not providing access to the admin interface, and even in some cases, probably limit what IP addresses people can connect from to connect to a VPN gateway, even though those kind of limitations often defeat kind of the purpose why you put these systems in place to begin with. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.